welcome to Comp. It's a day late. What are you gonna do? Went to a concert this weekend. Hello, by the way. I feel like we jumped into things too quickly. How are you? I went to a concert this weekend in New Jersey. I mean, none of the bands were anything particularly I wanted to see. There was Dance with the Dead. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They're a synthwave band. My friend likes them. We were playing Rocket League, and he's playing the goddamn music. I'm like, it's pretty good. So if you want to come see these guys, sure. And the headlining, they were just opening. And the headlining band is a thing called Avatar, which I don't know how many of you kids out there are metal fans. I've never been that into metal. I mean, I don't understand. I get... You know, if you're like, I like them. The music's fine. The fast, your fingers move and the guitar is it's fine. I don't mind it. But these kids are all very sad a lot of the time. They have depression. I don't know. I'm not mad at depression people, people who are sad. But, I just never. It's like at one point, because they have a good show, these Avatar guys. They have this face makeup and the guys, he's in the drone and the fucking light show and everyone's just fucking loving it and they're high-fiving. And this is great. And they're moshing, I guess. I was by the bar. It was like an Alice Cooper knockoff or My Chemical Romance, but harder. I like My Chemical Romance, but they did the whole I'm wearing a marching band but I'm pretending this is medieval clothing kind of thing. Like they're wearing these fucking these big button things which I think they think are like military things, but they really just look like marching band clothing. But it works. Everyone's in a uniform and they look good. At one point they're going like, look, how you feeling? You sad? And it's like, look, sometimes life sucks. That's why we're here to help you out. And like, going this whole thing. And I get it, but I don't know. That's why I never liked metal, because everyone's just like, we don't fit in and we're outsiders and I don't want to be. Like, I'd always rather just be, castigated and thrown to the wolves than to be a part of some, group of outsiders. Never liked the idea of that. I never liked the idea of, finding, emotional support with a guy who works at a gas station. If you work at a gas station, that's fine. But, but that's my, relationship to you. Where the guy who works at my gas station is, when you go home, you're a man. Or a woman, and you have children who suckle at your teat, and you have relationships and people, but you're the guy who pumps my gas. So I don't want to tell you about how, sometimes I think about incest too much. I don't know, watch too much incest porn, and I think it makes me a bad person. I don't want to talk with my gas station guy, or even the guy who's selling CDs at the gas station. But neither one. Anyone who hangs out at gas stations. That's not the venue where you should meet people. It's not I don't want to, by political conversations to happen at a gas station or 7-Eleven, similar idea. If I could be friends with anyone at a 7-Eleven, but I don't want to meet you. Excuse me. I don't want to meet you at a 7-Eleven. I don't want that to be our nexus, our relationship, that seems weird. You should expect more. I work in a place where there's people who wash the dishes and they're a janitorial service, I guess. I don't know. And they're fine. I don't care. I don't talk to 99.9% of the people who work there at all, let alone some people get all these people are great, salt of the earth. And I'm saying, they didn't even say the salt of the earth. I would never complain about anything they do. And I'm not complaining I'm ratting them out or anything. But sometimes the guy at the garbage can, just purposely gets in my way. And it's not purposely, but just kind of there's no reason for it to be, him to be carrying four trash cans at once and always to be. I digress. My point is, I brought it up once because we were talking about, something that was annoying. And you can't question that. And it's you're the class salute, the psychopath. Because you're afraid to, even bring up the fact that guy, put a trash can there kind of passive-aggressively. Oh, because they make less money. First of all, you don't even know how much money they make. You probably make shit money, you fucking... These people want to be in a position where they can go, I can't, I look down on this, I can't fucking, you know, I can't fucking question what they do because I, you know, they probably make very little money. And like, you don't even know. They probably doing, I mean, they might make that great. Who knows? The point is, though, like, but it's a job. Like, yeah, that guy's not like, I assume this might be this guy's second job. Who gives a shit? Like, you know, he's doing stuff. He's grinding. I've had shit jobs. It's like, I don't think I'm better than anyone. Inherently, I mean, there's plenty of people like me who I think I'm better than, but you know, not because they fucking work somewhere or they do something. It's just, you know, when you talk to someone, it's just like they start telling you how they fucking don't like bugles or something, and like, well, you're an idiot, you know, like I would never fucking eat a Hot Pocket. It's like, yeah, I know they're not great, but you never eat a Hot Pocket. You're pretending like you're always eating Amy's. What's that vegan brand, Amy's? I only eat Amy's mac and cheese. I only eat Kraft mac and cheese. It's like, it's your preference, fine, but like, don't tell me you would never eat. Oh, it's disgusting. It causes you cancer. It's like, no, what do you even know about cancer? Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the kind of things where I'm like, I'm better than you. I have to be better than that person who's just like, I only, like, I'm not saying if you eat Amy's, but you know, the fact you're going to bring it up to me and be like, oh, I don't fucking, you know, eat Kraft. I'm like, yeah, I get it. As a corporation, it's fucking, you know, you don't want to be eating corporate food all the time, but like, don't like you never eat it. I had a fucking frozen pizza yesterday. It was fine. I had a piece of pizza from the concert. It was like in some kind of, you know, receptacle they put like the pretzels in or something. It was all right. It was fine. You know, I was out there and I'm in Sayreville, New Jersey. And they fucking, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, there was nothing around but a VFW hall. I could have tried my luck there. Maybe they had a big hoagie, a big fucking hero, party hero. Best thing ever. Side note, I mean, they should make a Patreon where all you do is buy, it's like, you don't support my art, you just buy me a hoagie. But nah, like, I want a chunk of a party hero. I like the idea of knowing that there's, not that there's more, like, I can get more. But that it's, again, this might sound socialist, I don't know, but I like the idea of, like, this is your chunk of the party hero. Like, there's a big party hero. Just the idea, it's whimsical to me. Like, there's a party hero, and here's a chunk of it. And, like, there's 9 feet of this, but here's a, you know, here's 3 inches, or 6 inches, I guess 6 inches is a good, they're pretty thick, they're taller, and the bread's really Italian bread. So, you know, it's not like Subway, where it's like, here's your foot, which is really, what, like 11 inches, they say? Here's your 11 inches of like wet bread. Did I make that up? I think someone else. I don't want to steal someone's line. Wet bread sounds like I'm taking that from someone. But you get, you know, it's a great line. So credit to whoever wrote it. Probably someone famous and rich. And I'm just fucking going, oh, I don't want to steal your line. Like, hey, you can use it on your podcast. They probably would say that if they saw it. Like, you, I'm sitting in a closet, you know, surrounded by like dirty underwear and, you know, what else we got here? A couple of shoe organizers that we use to organize things. We put our things into shoe organizers, not shoes, but other things, you know, socks and underwear. And like that, like Dane Cook, if it was Dane Cook's line, he'd see that and go like, look, I know my brother stole like $100 million from me, but like, you're a disgusting animal and you can use that sub line about wet bread. Because I just want to leave and not talk to you anymore. So I'm not going to like engage with you and tell you not to say it. And then he spit on me, and then even though he said he wanted to leave, he would start hitting me with a shoe, and I wouldn't take it, but like, I mean, like, yeah, reality is he might, you know, he's a rich guy, he might be studying, he might have studied jiu-jitsu or mixed martial arts. Oh, here's a fucking pair of socks. Honestly, I'm even kidding, I need to order more socks, because, I mean, I don't know where they go. I mean, I had like 2 full bags of them. And now I have, like, a rotating thing of 4 pairs. Is this a fucking thing, too? Holy shit. Has Lucy been hoarding socks on me? This is 3 pairs of socks. Wait, 4 pairs of socks. This is not a bit. I just discovered 4 pairs of socks on top, like, in folded laundry. Another fucking pair of socks. What's going on? Holy shit. Six pairs of socks. Lucy's asleep right now. I'm in the closet. Why is the podcast not me going through my clothes? Because this is fascinating. I'm in the closet. Just paint a picture again. Lucy's asleep. You know, she's a heavy sleeper, so I'll have to yell in her ear to wake her up. You know, once this is done. I've been missing socks for months. I've been like wearing them longer than they should because, you know, I can't do laundry every 2 days. It's just pain. It's not like it's a pain in the ass to do. And I've been like kind of meaning to order socks, and I just never get around to it. And I just found literally on top of this, it's like a pile of folded clothes, six pairs of socks that were buried underneath. This is fucking, I should be shot in the face. This is my podcast. I mean, if you're donating to my Patreon, thank you. Maybe we'll have the sock updates on the Patreon only feed that we start. Because this is probably not, but this is for, to me, this moves me. This is called Kump, and you're curious about what drives Kump. You've all heard me talk about the morgue and the jail and the mosquito lab and my, you know, take on economics. But you want to know more about what drives a man who does these things and says these things. Like, this is it. I get excited about finding six pairs of socks. I think anyone would. This is, oh shit, this is a different set of socks, but another seven pairs. This is a big day for me. You know, sock. I mean, I think Sinatra. I think it was Sinatra. Never wore a pair of socks twice. I mean, if you ever put on a fresh pair of socks, you remember they're not that expensive. If you don't remember the feeling, go buy a new bag of socks because it's not bad. It's like what, $10, $15. You get six socks. Well, 12, but six pairs. Put it on. It feels amazing, right? It's soft. It's cushiony. And, like, look, Sinatra made money. I mean, he was married to Marilyn Monroe, or he just beat her. I don't know. He hit her. He was with Monroe, right? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. DiMaggio. Was it Frank? Look, I'm sure he, you know, beat her, at the very least. And, point is, he had money, and I'm sure he indulged in a lot of luxuries, but one of them was, I'm never going to wear a pair of socks twice, and I get that, because I could almost afford that. I mean, the amount you spend on coffee and soda, I could afford that. You don't have to make that much money to be able to afford that. I mean, to be able to say, well, it's not a stupid good move, yeah, maybe, but you could afford to not wear socks more than once, and that's an interesting thing. Maybe I will do that. Because, like, that would just give me confidence. Not that I need confidence anymore. I got plenty of confidence. Like, people mistake confidence for, like, thinking you're going to succeed. About certain, I mean, I'm not saying in general, certain things. People go, like, oh, you know, you should have more confidence. Like, no, I'm just not going to win this triathlon. Like, at the moment, I'm very fat. And I've been for a while. And, you know, I could get in shape again. I ran 5 miles a day, you know, at this point, I mean, 5, 6 years ago, who knows, but, you know, I'm not lying about that, but, you know, I have to do the work. People, you know, you say, that guy's funnier than me, but, oh, don't say that, like, why? It's true. It's like, I don't think I cannot get funnier, but, like, you know, there's a certain, people, maybe it's a lack of inherent confidence, but people tend to, like, overcompensate, in my opinion, for, like, any kind of pursuit when you like, I mean, look, don't let it get you down. But I'm a guy who's, I'm a realist. I like knowing, I like logic. I like knowing the fucking thing, whatever the reality is. So it's like, you know, if I need to, you know, whatever, lose 100 pounds to do this thing. And it's like, oh, I probably gotta do that soon. Like, we don't say that. Well, no, but I have to do the fucking work. But I'm not gonna do the work. I know I'm not gonna do the work. I don't want it that bad. I'm like, people like think there's a whimsy to these youth. Well, you know, you can do anything you want. I mean, you can, but like, look at yourself. Do you really think you're going to? At a certain point, you gotta know yourself and know your, like, you know, your tendencies. You know, I'm a smart guy who procrastinates and is not particularly well organized, and I'm messy, and I can, you know, curb the messiness, but it's still my inherent go-to, and I like stuff, and, you know, fucking salty fast food in my face. Just some fucking Doritos, some cheese puffs. I love that. So it's like, yeah, you get in shape, but like, you gotta know. Like, an alcoholic knows they want a drink. They don't fuck around. They're like, yeah, I can't have one drink because I'll fucking start, you know, I'll start pulling my dick out and or whatever. I mean, that's, I don't want to stigmatize alcoholics. I mean, they don't all pull their, I mean, I don't mean like in an aggressive way. Pulling their dicks out, but, you know, whatever. The point is, you know, I mean, I'm not saying alcoholics are all Me Too guys. I mean, not old, the guy from Ren and Stimpy. If you listen to Our Love is Disgusting this weekend, you'll find out that, you know, one of my, not personal icons per se, but, you know, my I loved Ren and Stimpy growing up, and I learned to respect it even more when I got older. And John Kay was an outspoken, I don't know, critic of animation. I mean, I didn't read his blog that much, but my friend showed me. I'm like, this guy's really cool, and Ren and Stimpy is great. And, you know, and the animation style probably influenced a lot of shit. And I find out, I mean, this happened a while ago, but I mean, Lucy's like, I was talking about Ren and Stimpy, he's like, oh, you know, we got Me Too, and he's like fucking, you know, corresponding with teenage girls, and like, not that it matters, but they look even younger than 16. Like, you know, it was no good. No good. Why did I bring it up? I don't know. It was slightly depressing. Not in a way of like, you know, look, the people who fucking annoy me, the ones who go, you know, this guy was, you know, if you go, oh, this guy was never talented, you know, like the whole with Louis, if he's fucking, oh, he wasn't, the show was never funny. Yeah, fuck you. I mean, this is a complex, dark, murky world where talented people are shitty. And nice people suck at things, and there's other things in between. Sometimes talented people are nice, and, you know, the opposite. It doesn't matter. That's the human condition. This is the thing. This is what art used to. I don't know what people expect out of art. They want. I mean, I'm not saying you should expect, you know, people to solicit 16-year-old girls, but, you know, yeah, just the lack of an appreciation of the murkiness of life. It's like, you know, I don't like. You know, what made the 70s cinema interesting wasn't the anti-hero per se, in my opinion. Like, you know, the fact that they studied darker people. It was, you know, studying the kind of gray area between everything. And, you know, look at Apocalypse Now. If you haven't seen Apocalypse Now, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, you're old enough to listen to this podcast. And, like, if you listen to this and you haven't watched Apocalypse Now, like, stop listening to this, I guess, and go watch Apocalypse Now. Because, like, I'm not as good as Apocalypse Now. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know what podcast you'd have to have where it'd be like, well, this episode's better than Apocalypse Now. This is clearly superior to, like, that film. Insanity. I mean, I guess you can't watch Apocalypse Now while you're driving a forklift, or if you're on a forklift, I mean, you know, cool. Because that's, if you're in a potato bread warehouse, I'm with you. I used to listen to podcasts while I was listening, you know, or Street Economics or whatever the fuck. Well, I was in the potato bread warehouse, so Mazel Tov or whatever. But yeah, the murkiness of a pop, you know, like it's not about war as hell, or, you know, this guy's doing bad shit. It's like, it, you know, Kurtz is pure evil. No one's denying that. This thing, he's evil, but he's making sense. Like, you can be correct. You can make sense. I mean, that's the reality. The murkiness of, like, sometimes the correct thing is the evil thing, but not correct in the sense that you should do it. But, like, the law, like, there's a weird ambiguity in between. Sometimes, like, there's a thing of knowing you don't do the thing. I'm not gonna try to condense it. The point is the thought, the question. I mean, you look at, you know, Full Metal Jacket. It's like, you know, it's an anti-war film. Like, someone, my friend was saying, you know, over the weekend, we were talking about it. But yeah, Kubrick says in an interview or something, he didn't want to make an anti-war film. He just wanted to make a fucking, you know, a real war film about war. But yeah, it's clearly a fucking, you know, it's plenty of critical. I mean, the guy's not an idiot. The guy's smarter than you, Kubrick. He fucking knows, you know, he fucking saw what's really going on. And it's dark. It gets to the horror of war. But, you know, like, the point is, like, you don't need to beat people over the head with it, nor should you. It's like, you don't, you shouldn't, it's not desirable for that. You don't fucking want that. Like, and the people who would go, well, is he taking a stand then? You just should, like, I don't know what you think the role of an artist in society is. Or for that matter, a philosopher, even. Like, these are the great questions that don't have answers. Like, there might be some answers sometime, like morality. I'm not saying, like, it's all subjective. I'm saying the point is that these are ambiguities. They're tendencies. They're like, you know, the whole idea of, you know, do you do this to the greater good? And, like, is this evil even though it saves more people? It's like, these are the things that you grapple with. There is never going to be even though there might be a concrete answer in one situation, you don't have it for the other. I'm not talking moral relativism. I'm talking about the fact that, like, these are fucking things you grapple, like, the understanding the parameters of thought and the parameters of morality, and, like, you know, the unintended consequences of morality. If you were just, you know, if you were just going to sit there and go, like, you know, moral absolutism or whatever, well, no, this is definitely evil. Sure, but what's that telling you? What's that informed? Like, how is that enriching your perspective at all? It's not. You fucking, you know, you don't understand the potential price of benevolence. You know, you show mercy and that guy ends up killing your kid. You know, does it mean you never show mercy? No, but you understand, you know, you grapple with all the different, you know, permutations of fucking possibilities that happen when you take certain courses of action. Like, these are the kind of things that, you know, these are, if there's any practical gain from philosophy and thought, like, yeah, these are the things, like, you know, understanding perspective. And, like, you don't need some guy who fucking went to NYU to teach you about, you know, the moral, you know, virtue of fucking, you know, using swift action in a combat situation to, you know, oh, yeah, we napalmed them, but we saved more lives in the end. But I feel justified because there's, you know, Chauncey over here who went to fucking Tisch School of the Arts made this fucking short film that really made me feel good about myself. Like, no, like, no one needs that. And you don't need art to just be there. It's like, explore the nuance and, like, and just kind of show and delve. You don't fucking need... It's not even a matter of being spoon-fed. People think, oh, I don't want to be spoon-fed. And it's almost like the connotation is like, I know all this shit. I don't need to be told. You should never be told. Like, it makes it bad art. You know, it's not because, you know, if people don't get it, let them not get it. And the thing, you know, why is not everything's there for the first viewing? I mean, yeah, if you're making fucking Transformers the last night, sure. You know, give me a fucking spoon. Because I'm not going to, like, watch it again. Or even the first time. Because, I mean, I watched the first one years ago. It was cute enough. It was fine. I'm like, yeah, I ain't seen it in the theater. I was like, yeah, this is fine. And then I watched another one a few years later. And it was just, I mean, someone else described it as, like, putting, I think it was the Red Letter Media guys. Or it was, like, putting... No, it was the guy from Scream. Doesn't matter, but it does matter, I guess. I'm attributing now, so it does matter. I think it was the guy from Screen Rant, perhaps, the Ryan George guy. But point is, putting, like, you know, a bunch of computer circuits into a fucking blender or something. It looks like trash. It's terrible filmmaking. Why am I talking about Transformers? If you're making that, yeah, you know, tell me what you're doing, because I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing in that movie. You're fucking sitting there, and you got robots, and they're from the future or the past, and there's fucking dinosaurs now, and you watch the trailers, and they're fucking just shoving circuit boards up their ass, and they're sucking their own fucking robot dicks, and they're like, how do you even get there? Like, if you could fucking transform a 90-degree angle, I would just suck my own fucking robot dick. But, you know, I don't know, like, what's driving them. I mean, I'm not one of these guys who thinks you only get driven, like, you know, sex is the reason men do anything. No, but, like, you know, if you don't have a dick and you're a robot, like, what is, like, I'm not saying there isn't one, I'm just asking, like, it's not, are you an artist? Because these robots aren't doing art. They're not fulfilling, like, they're just kind of existing and trying to get this device so they can do what? I don't know. Live in their homeland? But you're robots, like, I don't know, maybe they can, is there one that, like, blends? They should make a blender. He just gives people margaritas and gets them to like him that way. He just goes to a bar and just goes, here's a drink. But, I mean, you know, if there were sentient robots and one was a blender, Transformer style, and you were a woman at a bar, I don't know if I would recommend taking a drink from them, because they may not have dicks, but he's trying to get something from you. And, you know, it comes from inside him. And you shouldn't drink from inside, you know, the things that are inside people until, you know, you definitely want to, you know, whatever equivalent is of fucking a robot. If you want to get intimate and swap fluids, then yeah, drink his margarita. But I think it's kind of presumptuous for a robot to, like, you know, be a blender, make your margarita that's inside him, and you drink it. I kind of feels like, you know, it almost feels like, one of those Bukkake videos where someone's, like, putting the cum in the champagne glass and she's drinking the shit. I never got that. I mean, a gangbang can be, you know, nice to watch, in the sense of, like, she's getting dicks on all sides and she's liking it. Yeah, you know, she's like, oh yeah, this is great, and, like, I'm tugging these dicks and this dick's in my ass and I'm just sucking dick. She's like, ah, she's getting it. She's like, she's just full of dick. She's probably comfortable. It's warm. But, and then the whole Bukkake thing, you know, okay. Like, you know, a lot of people coming on, or, like, it depends on how they do it. A lot of times it's not great. But then the whole drinking, that's why I can't even, I've never seen a drinking of cum video that I liked. And I'm sure you've always, porn's always the thing where you find the exception, where you find that one, you know, video of whatever particular porn star and the way she looks at the camera while she's slurping up this cum out of a glass. And like, this is fantastic. And then you start chasing that high and you don't, it can be dating. I'm just saying, just, but in general, I don't like bukkake champagne glass drinking videos. And I feel like there's something similar to that with the Transformer who is a blender and he makes margaritas. This is, again, this is not something that was in the movie. This is just, I'm saying, if that was the case. What were we talking about? I mean, so don't spoon fed me this shit. I don't need to hear about. I'm not sure why this got prompted, but make better shit. You know, make more ambiguous shit. I mean, like the Game of Thrones. I guess spoiler alert. I'll try not to spoil the big shit, but you know, if you didn't watch it yet, maybe wait before you like keep listening. I guess. Look, if you haven't seen this, I feel weird saying spoiler alert because this show it's been spoiled, and it's no big spoil to tell you it's spoiled. Like, if you haven't watched in season 4, good, stop. I'm not a completionist. I'm also not someone who necessarily abandons the show right away. You know, Dexter was I'm not like proud that I watched Dexter when it came out, but it was at least somewhat interesting. I always thought the side characters were very corny and terrible, and Showtime is very schlocky in general, and you know, especially with that show. The first season being kind of interesting with the brother, and the second season with the Dogs, I think it was Dogs his name, the cop who's tracking him. The guy is pretty decent, but you know, it wasn't the most, whatever. You know, but then season 3 got pretty dumb, but Jimmy Smith was an interesting character. Like, very, and it's like, ah, he kept watching it. And then same thing with John Lithgow in season 4. And it was always not a good show, but whatever. Sons of Anarchy is the thing where it's like, show wasn't great. It was all right. It got good in season 2, I feel like. And season 3 was really good. In a way of like, it harkens back to The Shield, but didn't have the integrity of The Shield, of course. And I mean, Kurt Sutter, you know, wrote for The Shield, and he started that show. And then season 4, it just, I mean, like, it wasn't realistic when they did shit in season 3 in Ireland, and then they came back and they killed, you know, I don't want to spoil it, I guess, but season 4 to come out and, like, fucking, what's his name, Danny Trejo is like, yo, I'm in the CIA, Holmes. I don't know if he actually said that, but it's like, he has this Danny Trejo accent, and he's just fucking like, oh, we're in the CIA, we're running guns, and it's just like, it's just wrong. I mean, I couldn't put my finger on why, but it's just like, I could. I'm saying, it's just, Sons of Anarchy really should have been. And I think ever since then, I have no problem abandoning a show. I mean, I'm not like, you know, afraid to stop. Like, I'm not a completionist. I don't need to keep watching. I mean, The West Wing got terrible after Aaron Sorkin left, understandably. I mean, he's a great writer, and even if you got someone good, they're not Aaron Sorkin. He's got a very particular cadence and style, and, you know, it's not everyone's thing. But regardless, either if it's your thing, it's not your thing. It's not the same thing if you got someone else. And you were thinking, like, oh, maybe they'll account for that, and it'll be... And, like, The West Wing, the fall-off couldn't be harder. Like, it was just objectively terrible for at least a season, and it was never as good. It never got the same. It got better. Again, they brought Jimmy Smits in. Jimmy Smits is... I never even watched NYPD Blue. I was never a Jimmy Smits loyalist. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of Jimmy Smits in the prequel Star Wars trilogy where he played Leia's dad. You know, I'm not like beholden to Jimmy Smits. But I find him very compelling in a lot of different situations. I like Jimmy Smits. I'm not going to lie about it. He's also in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think. He's like... Whose dad is he? Is he fucking Amy's dad? Or I don't know. I feel like he's in that show. Yeah, he's Amy's dad, I think. Anyway, I mean, if you don't watch, that's a pretty funny show. That's something that's out there that you can enjoy. That, you know, hey, and they brought it back on NBC. And, like, I've only seen the first few episodes. I haven't watched it in a couple months or two. But, like, yeah, it's still good. It's still good. It's still good. It's like... No one, if they ran out of steam, I feel like they'd stop. They didn't. It's fine. And that's my point. There's stuff out there. Go watch that. If you want to stop, because this show is, if it can be spoiled for you, can you spoil something that's terrible? I guess you can. I guess people want to find out for themselves. And that's admirable, because, you know, you shouldn't take anyone's word for anything. But this show's, you know, that's not enough of a spoiler alert, and fuck you. You know, go unsubscribe, because I that was like a 10-minute spoiler alert, you know, in true Cump style. I'm a rambling fat idiot. I can't just get to the point. It's just like, well, I do or die. I mean, I guess it's why people enjoy it, though. That's what people like, you know? So I guess that's why you're here. It's why am I being so self-effacing? I should probably, I mean, I like therapy. I don't think I need it, per se. Everyone needs it, I guess. I don't know if I particularly need it. I'd like to go. Again, why am I saying this? But, you know, it's apropos, I guess. Because I could use a, this is my therapy. If this is my therapy, this is the moral trouble, I guess. What's my point? Game of Thrones. It's over now. I watched the finale yesterday. And I don't know what to tell you. It went off the rails with the whole, I mean, look, I don't understand people. All right, let's just get the timeline. I love this show from when I watched it the first time. Like, I watched it the summer after it aired originally, like the first season, which was like 2011 or 2010, probably 2010. I was working at the morgue at the time. I remember because it was my first vacation from the morgue. I had scheduled to go upstate with my friend that fell through. So I was just like, if I was a different person, I might call it a staycation, but I don't say that. But, you know, you get the idea. And I don't know why I'm not secure enough in whatever pathos I have. I'm actually describing it like, oh, I might say staycation. So I'm saying the word. I know it's there. And I think I'm right. I think that sometimes, you know, I don't like these made up terms, these conjunction terms. Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns here. I'm not gonna say it in the first person. So, but it was a staycation anyway. Yeah, regardless. And yeah, I loved it. It was a great show. Some people argue in hindsight, well, you know, they adapted the books. The books were better. I was like, yeah, no, the books are the cornerstone of why it's good. I read the first book recently. It's great, but you know, there's plenty of great books that haven't been adapted well. So an adaptation of a book that's done well is still a feat not equal to that. But, you know, it's impressive. And it's something to be, you know, it's a show of a good filmmaker that you can do that. To do so in a way that's, you know, pretty faithful, especially in this case where it's pretty faithful, but, you know, gets the tone. Because a lot of times, like, The Shining isn't one of the most brilliant films ever made. I don't know if it's a good adaptation. It's a great adaptation, but is it faithful to the book? And, like, you could argue, I don't know, I haven't really read the full book. Some people say it is, some people say it isn't. I mean, the thing is, when you get the faithful, you know, Stephen King loves to get his, you know, when he gets his way and he produces or they do it in the way he would want. The Shining miniseries, I didn't watch it, everyone said it was terrible. If you're a book purist, maybe you didn't think that. But the reality is, it was an impressive, what they did with that show is impressive. One of my favorite scenes is, you know, when you first meet Tywin Lannister, and he's cutting that deer, he's talking to Jaime and calling him an idiot, and, you know, just talking about the nature of family and sacrifice, and, like, it was a great, Charles Dance is an amazing actor, really I don't even know if it's, like, if it's a feat of acting more than just, like, his frequencies really resonates with me, and I think he's a great actor too, of course, but the extra oomph, I think, is just, I don't know, I find his character magnetic. I always loved Tywin. It's a certain way he cut through the bullshit, and he's an evil guy. I mean, like, you know, the brilliant thing was about, even though I loved the scenes with Tywin Lannister, you know, when he finally met his demise, I was actually, it was surprising, and I was like, I wasn't happy per se, I wasn't mad, it was kind of like, oh shit, like, you know, because they built it up in a way, this is, a brilliant show, which, you know, knew how to handle nuance and fucking characters in a way where it's like, yeah, this guy's incredibly compelling, and you like it when he's giving shit to Joffrey, but yeah, when someone gives him his comeuppance, you know, you don't feel cheated either, even though he was one of my favorite characters, that was the magic of a show like that. I mean, well, one of the magic. I mean, some people might argue, you know, the deconstructionist nature of it, the way, I mean, it got a little, it might be a little heavy-handed sometimes, but just the way, you know, that's just kind of subverting expectations. Just the idea that, like, no one's guided by, like, these archetypes of, like, I'm a knight, I'm this. I mean, it would be childish to think that. And not just subverting that. Like, people could go, oh, subverted the fairy tale. But there have been other darker fantasy things. But subverting, like, the role of power and the role of, you know, what these guys would even be about and why, you know, the fact that, you know, they... The fact that they wouldn't even be dishonorable to fight in a dirtier way a lot of times. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you can go like, oh, knights are actually not all great. Sure, but like, it's also kind of dumb if you're just being some chivalrous knight, you know, to act like that in a world of chaos. Like, you know, it'd be stupid. So it's like, there's a difference between, you know, just subverting expectations, if you will. There's also a difference between... you know, showing the darker side and actually deconstructing, you know, a civilization or an archetype of a civilization or a writing style. You know, you can go, oh, yeah, knights wouldn't all be great. But that's not the point. The point is, you know, how would they be? And what, you know, and like, because it's not like everyone, in, you know, all these knights are just complete pieces of shit. I mean, a lot of them are you know, look, the powerful people are, especially from the perspective of, you know, someone who's like not in power and poor. It's terrible because, you know, look at the guy who lives in, like, you know, Long Island, one of the richer neighborhoods in Long Island. I'm not talking about the Hamptons, but, you know, like a nicer area that, you know, and you go, he's like, oh, he's a dentist and he fucking makes, you know, $300K a year. He's a good dentist. There's a good dentist. And they make that much money, more, I'm sure. And, you know, he drives a fucking, what's he drive? He drives a Porsche, like a Porsche. He has a 911. I mean, is 911? Can you afford a 911? $300,000? Yeah, of course you could. Yeah, you fucking you can afford a 911, right? He's got a 911, and he's driving around. He's got his fucking, you know, he's got maybe a Rolex. He's making $300K a year. I'm saying, could be a decent guy. Is my point, but like, you know, you're probably, you know, aggressive in certain situations, and you're fucking. Not the most, look, you could be generous, but you're not going to tend to be the most generous guy. Maybe a dentist wasn't the greatest example. Maybe just, let's just say a finance guy. Not all evil, but, you know, you drive being aggressive. You drive being a shark. So, you know, the kind of people who tend to excel in those situations and rise to those ranks, yeah, they're not going to be like the gentle fucking, you know, petting your rabbit and shit. So, you know, look, that's the point, the nuance. And, like, it got that. And it's not all, I don't know. But I've loved the show since, you know, the get-go. The peak for me was season 4. 5 was fun. I mean, like, the magic ended, I wouldn't say the magic ended, but, like, it was the peak, for sure, in hindsight. 5 was fine. 6 was good, especially the end of 6 was great. You know, 7, I wasn't one of these people shitting on it. I mean, I get why you would. Like, the fast travel and the fucking, just the things being a little amped up and, like, you know, a little simplistic. Sure, I get it wasn't Game of Thrones, but it wasn't bad enough that it broke it for me. It was like, look, they're running out of steam. They're not going to do 4 more seasons, even if they should. And, like, I can accept this. It's still entertaining. I feel like in season 7, the scene where, the Dothraki and Daenerys, like, you know, attack Jaime and the whole Lannister army. I liked it. I mean, you might have, I don't know if people disliked that. I mean, if that was one of the things that people were critiquing. But I thought, like, look, you have all this build-up. I mean, you saw some dragon shit over the years. But, like, you finally saw what, you know, the Dothraki and some dragons could do on the open field of battle. I was like, oh, this is fucking... And it was at least composed well as a battle scene. I don't know if the tactics were good. But it was composed well, and... Yeah, I mean, look, maybe the fucking part where Jamie's trying to get the stupid, you know, harpoon at the end and, like, fucking Bronn knocks him off. For sure, that was, you know, it was a little dumb, but overall, like, you know, I mean, because that's the thing. If you can't just say, well, it got bad after 5 or got bad after 6 or 7. Like, 7 was bad. And if you do that, and not that matters, I guess, we're not fucking accountants for HBO. But, like, you really are short-selling how bad the show got. If you don't acknowledge how, like, it went from like, oh, this might, some of the elements of this might be a little like, you know, silly, or like, you know, these guys are traveling too quickly, to like just incompetently written. And you're really, honestly, more, I don't know if they're winning me over or if I was just wrong, but these Star Wars kids, these fucking guys who didn't like Last Jedi, they seem to be, you know, I agree with them more and more as it goes along. I still stick to, like, why are you watching Star Wars? It's over. Star Wars has been over. This was at least the end of a series. But I think I mentioned that last week. I don't know. I hope I'm not repeating myself with this. But the point is, I don't know. The whole point of, what was the whole point of Bran? He's the guy now? He's the fucking, what is, like, why is Bronn back there? The thing of Daenerys, it's like they act like she, like they laid the seeds for something. You could have done this, I guess. The whole point of her character was to assert, not the fact that she won. Like the breaking the wheel thing was something she said in season 5. Remember, it was in the trailer. They had the David Bowie cover. Was it Bowie cover? It was a slowed down version of David Bowie's Heroes. And they had a great, I mean, like, season 4 was their best season. Season 5 had the best trailer. It was a really great trailer. Somewhat disappointing, but not, like, a terrible season. But she said, I don't want to stop the wheel. I want to break the wheel. And they keep bringing that up. That was something she said in season 5. But before that, she was like, I mean, there was those scenes in season 2 when, I think it was season 2, when she first got the Unsullied. And then, like, they're telling her, like, oh, like, don't sell this dragon. And it's like, you know, this and that, and like, cause she's gonna trade her dragon for the Unsullied, like one dragon for all the Unsullied, and then like once she got the whip, whatever they call it, the little scepter, she's like a Drakkaris and burns everyone. And the point was like, you know, yeah, I'm playing a different game. I'm operating multiple levels. There's levels of this shit, you know. And she's fucking, she wasn't, you know, like the my what I'm establishing there is that you have Jorah and you have, I believe at that point she had what's his name. Barristan Selmy, the badass Barristan, the bold, the fucking most underutilized guy in the show. I mean, he's old at that point, but you know, this guy was a killer, a fucking brutal killer. And they fucking, you know, they killed him off. That's one of the things, they killed him. He's alive in the books, apparently. They fucking killed him off. I don't know why. But he was telling her, don't fucking use all these dragons, Daenerys. You gotta stop. Just his advisors tell him to do this shit. And what does she do? She fucking gets both. She gets the fucking, keeps the dragon, and she kills the slavers. And she's like, I'm doing this shit my way. And that was always her MO for the most part. I mean, I guess, is that why some people call her Mary Sue? I mean, you know, I guess, look, at the end of the day, if you're gonna talk about why did this person become great? I mean, very few things really establish why someone's character is virtuous or smart. You know, you establish that they are, and they have a good, you know, they you know, some great fiction does maybe establish that, but you know, like, look at The Wire. Why is McNulty such a good detective? I mean, I don't think it's ever really established. Is McNulty a Mary Sue? No, because he has faults, and so is there Targaryen. So, you know, relax. Point is, you establish that she, you know, looks through the problem into me, you know, maybe we got some fucking third option here where I fucking win both things. And yeah, she's a little brutal, but she's always brutal. And then they try to bring something to the show as if that was like, you know, as that was a way of, you know, disregarding logic. We're like, oh, well, you know, we clapped when she killed the slavers because they were evil men. It's like, yes, yes, we did. Like, we clapped when the, was Tyrion saying this shit? We clapped when she, crucified those masters or crucified children. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, maybe you could argue against capital punishment, but, like, there ain't no, I mean, or the morality of doing that, but, like, let's not pretend, like, it wasn't justice, or at least on a Hammurabi's Code kind of way. Or is any comparison to that, to, like, I mean, they said thousands of people, but she must have killed, like, I mean, if there's a million people in that city and the devastation to that city that she did, she must have killed, like, you know, 500,000 people, 250,000 people, at least 100,000. And if you killed 100,000, you don't say thousands. If you killed 10,000 people, I'm not sure if you say thousands. Maybe 10, sure. If you killed 20,000 people, I don't think you say thousands of people. I think, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20, you start saying tens of thousands, I guess. I guess when it gets to 20, you can say tens. If it's 15, you can't say tens. There's only one 10. But you get the point. You kill a shitload more people than they make it seem, in my opinion, based on what I'm seeing. And it's like, you know, and they're comparing it to, like, crucifying some guys who crucify children just to make a point to her, like, on the way, like, those road markers. It doesn't even get its own, like, it feels like it's written by people who, like, skim through the show. Like, let alone people who, like, are experts in the lore of it. And, like, you know, because it's fantasy, you don't get into the trap of thinking, like, oh, I'm worried about the fucking new one. No, I'm saying whatever show it is, if you wrote for the Americans, if you wrote for anything good, you'd want to be steeped in its lore, in its fucking backstory, so you could pay off things and you can establish things. I mean, the true masters of this kind of shit establish things early on that pay off later. You can watch a show like in season one, you go, oh shit, like that's why that was happening. And like, and it works on multiple levels. And it doesn't always have to work like that, you know, that way, but that's the peak level shit sometimes. It's like, oh, it's amazing. At the very least, though, you want a character to be consistent. If you need me to explain that to you, then you're a moron. If you don't get why you want a character to be consistent, it doesn't mean consistent all the time. Like, you know, you can change a character, and the character can act contrary to their nature, sure. But, like, there's a real, like, I mean, you know, you school shooter guy. Like, people didn't think they're going to shoot schools, but, like, yeah, this guy's kind of weird. Also, and, like, you know, maybe, you know, you guys fed up. I mean, that's the thing. Do people do random stuff? Sometimes. But not usually big random stuff. Like, when you look at the guys who, like, you know, Oswald. Oh, like, he's connected to the Soviets and this and that. Like, it's never any, if that was even what happened. My point is, like, these guys usually aren't just random. I mean, and if you believe Hinckley's, the whole Hinckley did it for Jodie Foster thing, I don't know what to tell you. Because it's like, you know, those are situations. Well, but Hinckley, he's wanted to impress Jodie Foster. Sure, and his parents were supposed to have dinner with Neil Bush that night, so that means nothing. Like, I don't know what. Again, we don't talk about conspiracies that much in this show, but if you've been with me for a while, you get what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, this fucking, I don't know what it means, the whole Neil Bush thing, but like, it means there, something's there, and let's not pretend it's not something there, is my point. Something more is there. So, it's a badly written show. Terrible. I mean, I don't get the whole, the thing with Daenerys, it's like, she would never, I'm not saying she never would have done that. I'm not saying, look, the obvious thing is that you build it up over seasons, people are saying that. But you also give, it's short drift to, like, what that, look, if the idea is that the virtuous people, or the people who you think are virtuous and, like, you know, but are conquerors, are prone to do this, it's not even that you didn't build it up and didn't earn it. Like, it's the fact that, like, that could be an interesting subject of, like, how a guy like Alexander the Great, for instance, who I'm sure someone like Daenerys is, you know, at least partly based on, if not him and other people like him. But, you know, there's Alexander, there's Julius Caesar, was a great conqueror. I mean, I think, what's his name? Augustus Caesar was a better conqueror. Julius Caesar killed a million Gauls, but I think Augustus might have conquered more shit. But you get the point. Genghis Khan, again, brutal guy. You know, Alexander might be the best example of a guy who thought he was Muhammad. I don't know. Thought they were improving shit. And, you know, I think Daenerys Targaryen might not be the, I can't remember a time when a leader was that, thought they were being that virtuous. I guess they always, who knows if they always do or not. But objectively, watch it. You know, if there is an objective window into these people through a TV show, regardless of the historical precedents, you know, she had, her reasoning was based on a more grounded in moral morality and fucking compassion and, sure, ego too, but that was always part of it. You know, the ego was always a part of it, and the superior, not breeding, that's what they would say, but the superior, you know, station in life. You know, she might have been in exile, but, you know, she's still a rich girl. Look, her fucking she might have been living in different houses and fucking, you know, running from Robert Baratheon's assassins, but she's still living better than some fucking peasant chick in Fleabottom. You know, well, let's not kid ourselves. She lived a charmed life. A charmed fucking life. She acts like a, you know, these people, the rich, that's the thing, the rich will always deserve it when they get it, because it's just, I mean, what I'm talking about is getting put against a wall. You know, because they really just don't seem to, like, if there was even appreciation for, like, yeah, look, if they even, like, yeah, they, it's when they complain, you know, I didn't have that easy. I fucking had to run from theoretical assassins and live in different rich people's houses. And it's like, oh, that sounds terrible. Like, I mean, these people getting raped and killed in the streets, they're eating shit, they're eating brown dirt mixed with water, how, what they call it, bits of brown, this food they eat, and, you know, when Fleabottom in these fucking slums. That's what I'm saying. She didn't grow up that hard. But, you know, so there was always, like, that was always part of the show. You know, the idea that, like, you know, there was this duality, not duality, but just nuance going on. But it's not that you didn't earn it. It's the fact that, like, that would have been a more an interesting take. I mean, probably more interesting than what you did with her for the past few seasons. Because, I mean, once you took Marine or whatever, it got kind of boring anyway. Not boring. Yeah. Nothing really changed that much. Even when she got the Dothraki, it was kind of like, oh, she burned herself. She got in a fire again, and this happened. And all right. I mean, it was like kind of thing. Like it was a thing that you accepted because, you know, oh, now we're going to go to Westeros. Cool. But, like, it was kind of weird. I mean, it was a cool visual moment when she came out of that fucking fire pit. And I'm not, you know, it was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, it seemed like a whole thing that was contrived more than the show would do up to that point. Whatever. So you could have explored more of the, not to earn it. People act like you got to earn it, but, like, what are you earning? The payoff is rarely that great. The point is more the journey and the studying of his character. Watching a really interesting and nuanced character is the reward in itself. Watching Tyrion in season 1 and 2. And 3, even. Or 4. I mean, oh, yeah, the original Tyrion. That's the idiot Tyrion that, you know, we have now. Or did have. It's over now. But, you know, it was a pleasure. Because he was a complicated guy. He was a selfish guy. But also, you know, he was better than his family. But his family was shit. You know, and, like, there's a lot of levels going on. He's smart, but he's also, you know, kind of... risky with the prostitute. Yeah, whatever. Point is... watching a guy like Bronn, who's, like, you know, not the worst guy, but he's a moral, you know, and morally ambiguous, but, you know, he knows how to win a fight, but, you know, in a sleazier way, but, you know, but it's also, like, but that's that moment when he's, like, when he gets rid of Jon Slint, Tyrion, and he goes to Bronn, you know, because he makes Bronn the city guard guy, like, if I ordered you to, because Slint was like, oh, I was ordered to do it, killing the babies, you know, Robert's bastards or whatever, like, back in, like, season 1, or beginning of season 2, and when he goes to Bronn, he goes, you know, if I ordered you to kill babies, would you do it? You know, would you do it unquestionably? He's like, unquestionably? No. I ask how much. Like, that's great, because you still like the character, and the fact that you can have a character you like who's still saying, yeah, if you pay me enough money, I'll kill some babies. Like, that's, like, you want, that's the point. Like, and then, sometimes I feel like I've landed onto a point here in a roundabout way, which is, you know, the nature of how this show works, I guess. But, like, if I have to anything to add to this whole, because, you know, if you're interested in Game of Thrones, there's millions of videos now, and, you know, you can spend all day at work watching this shit. But if I have anything to add to the great debate about, or just eulogy about this show, it's the point of this distinction that, you know, it's not so much that you needed to earn these turns. It's that, like, you know, the studying and, like, having the nuance of a character on display is the point. Is the having a character that is grounded in reality and then acts, you know, based on, again, this drama. Like, you're not watching a documentary. Documentaries don't do this. So, like, it's not about 100% realism. You want the idea that, is it realistic based on the instigating factors that you've established. So, like, you know, hey, this, she wants to do this, but, you know, let's just say everyone's a grand thing, like, with the whole burning down of King's Landing. It's like, you know, would you have, this would have been better if she'd, if, like, you know, Cersei had not surrendered and she'd done some stuff that kind of forced her hand, so the only way she could beat her was to burn down the Red Keep. Of course, that would have been a better move if that was, you know, sure. I'm not arguing that. But that's the point. It's like, you have his character. She has a certain moral standing. And people are saying to you, like, look, I can buy that, you know, this character would go darker than I would, you know, than we all would agree. Like, people, these people aren't children going, I liked her, you made her bad. They're saying, it's like, it's about, you know, not pushing it for no reason. People don't, you know, it's just, it's really, it can't be overstated how clumsily and shittily this show is written. It's done in a way where it's almost like hypernormalization, where it's like, fuck you, this is the new reality. These people are, it's like the same when you watch certain comedy things, like, this guy's on TV, and he's incoherent. Look at his Twitter, and it makes no sense. He's got a billion followers. And it's like, no, this is the new reality. Like, this is done, like, just like with Russia. If you haven't seen Hypernormalization, it's an Adam Curtis doc. Go watch it on YouTube. I don't endorse it. Like, his docs are always very, very interesting and fun to watch. I feel like he sometimes kind of shoehorns a little bit, but, you know, but in the, it's, you watch him as kind of like, you know, tone poems. If you were George Lucas, he'd say something stupid like that. You know, they kind of, you get a vibe off of him and a certain level of perspective. But yeah, but in Hypernormalization, he talks about at one point, how it was basically about how, in, like, the name comes from in Russia, in, like, the Soviet Union in the 70s, how at that point it all broken down and no one thought, like, we're doing some kind of Lenin Marxist shit here. But the government was basically kind of still going through certain motions and people were accepting that. And it was like, that thing when you know what you're watching on the news is bullshit, but you kind of have no choice but to kind of go along with it and accept it, and you have this kind of dual awareness in your whole life. It's like, you know, it's kind of accepting of things you know would be untrue, which I guess is the foundation of 1984, the whole, like, 2 + 2 = 5 kind of thing. You know, forcing people to accept that 2 + 2 = 5 just because we convince them of that, and he broke them. And that's, you know, and then because Russia were basically, what they also established in modern day Russia, that I think I've talked about this before, but, like, they basically fund opposition parties. And that's, look, that's duplicitous, and you can see an intelligence service doing that and agent provocateurs. What's interesting is that the move they did was to, like, tell the people, this is what we're doing. So the whole point is to go, hey, you don't know what the fuck we're doing. That's what we're doing. What we're doing is, you don't know what the fuck is real. And that's the point. So that's what the point of this is. The point of this season, and there's a lot of art now, is just to be like, hey, you don't know what's going on. Just basically, you know, bend over, cuck. That's what they're telling you. And again, I'm using cuck in the literal term, not in the, you know me, I'm not some fucking guy. Are these cucks still even a word that they use? I could break down Game of Thrones more, but I feel like we're getting to the end of the show. Maybe I'll do a bonus episode. I mean, I feel like that's the contribution. I mean, all the other stuff I feel about it, I feel like it's been said. But that's my contribution, is that, you know, it's, even if you had earned it, it's wanting to see that develop is the interesting thing. It's not the fact that you have to, some people act like you built this up to pay it off. And, you know, would you go back and watch the first, like, you know, bunch of seasons again? Because it was ruined now, because, you know, it was all leading to this. I never felt like it was, there was always something it was leading to, sure. But it was a pleasure to watch in and of itself. And I feel like that's, you know, that's what I have to contribute, is that, you know, it's appreciating the moment. And so there was no earning. There'd be no earning. I mean, you could have earned it, but it's more not the earning. What you earn is the enjoyment of watching it. And yes, when it also pays off on the other end, it makes it that much better, sure. But, you know, watching her grapple with these things would have, like, that's the point. It's not, it's like, if she's just changed on a dime, but you had established it better, and then you go, oh, all right, well, it does make sense. It makes sense with the fucking parameters. That's not the fucking point. The point is the struggle. The point is the new, like, wanting to see someone be in, like, again, The Wire. You watch McNulty, and he's like this fucking drunk maniac, but he's also like he's talented as a detective, and he can't get his shit together. And it's like watching that is interesting, you know. And like, it doesn't matter that like it's what's the payoff and what's the this. And that. It's just like, you know, I enjoy watching someone who isn't just one thing, and that's the point. Like, and she was never so, you know, whatever. That's that. Yeah. Also, they could have redeemed it just by having Prince Harry just drop bombs on the city. You know, make it more realistic, at least. Because they should have incorporated Prince Harry and the biracial baby, and they should have made him. They should have cut forward. It should have been like a dissolve, of like the, you know, brand and like all everyone, and just dissolve to the current royal family with their beautiful biracial baby, and it just says season's greetings, and it's over. That's the only change I would have made, I guess. Let's get to, let's just call out our wonderful patrons. I'm going to buy, I don't know, I'm not getting rich off this Patreon, at least not yet. but I have made, not actually enough to buy a new microphone, but enough that I'll kick in the rest. I'm going to get better microphones. So see, it's not going to me and paying for my, you know, bugles, my fucking, you know, Doritos. I'm going to buy a nicer mic. And it'll help, this little podcast will sound better. So contribute now with that spirit. So and thank, you can thank these wonderful patrons for making that possible. Diane Cage, Britt Poundtown, Michael Ricardo, Richard Hofstetter, Jason Duberville, Gary Barbera, Ryan LaRocque, Keith Veronese, and Eric Frankel. And last but not least, Julian Assange. Julian, I didn't send you the ramen. I know I said I would. Look, you contributed to me. It doesn't mean I have to help you. So I don't want this to be a thing like it's a quid pro quo. Like, you know, you believed in Kump, and that's great. I don't want to set a precedent. Like, if you like donate to my Patreon, then like, I'm going to get you out of jail, or like launch a Kump campaign to get you out of jail. In this case, though, I do want to do something, but I don't like the idea that I'm expected to do something for Julian Assange. But no, I will. I'll get my. I just forgot. Let's be honest. I forgot to send you the soup and the ramen. So we'll figure something out for Julian, because he did contribute to the show, so I want to help him out. Not sure what to do. I mean, he's getting extradited to Sweden or America. Who knows? It's a real mess. And the reality is, those charges might be true and also trumped up to, you know, get him for the espionage shit or the hacking shit, you know, whatever. Like, again, just like Game of Thrones, just like The Wire, it could be both things. You know, he could have done some shitty shit, and they use that against him. Like, it's just because it's convenient doesn't mean he didn't do it. Who knows? But they're definitely pushing the issue. Let's not pretend like, you know, international, like, rapists tend to get internationally extradited in this fashion. But, so, you know, of course, that's why, you know, it's happening, because, you know, he's him. But, you know, if he did do it, though, it's like, then it's like, he's still not a great guy. But, you know, you also want to, I don't know, he contributed to the show. I'm not going to defend his whole moral backstory. But, you know, I defend his, you know, his hacking, his leaking. You know, if it over-affected the election, grow up, all right? Look at what, you think he was, no. I mean, if they use WikiLeaks, the guy's in the Ecuadorian embassy. We're riding a skateboard around, eating fucking Hot Pockets. I'm not going to fucking hold him accountable if he got a little used. You're gonna put him in jail for 20 years? Cause, like, I mean, a lot of shit happens. Let's not pretend like that was the fucking linchpin. And also, like, what got leaked was real shit. So, like, if it hurt Hillary, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I get what you're saying, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's real shit, though. So, like, maybe just, you know, exist in the nuance a little more and stop being such a fucking tool about it. It's weird. We get it. Alright, so Julian, stay strong. We'll help you out. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ray Kump. Go listen to Our Love is Disgusting, my podcast with Lucy Steiner. It's fantastic. She's hilarious. You know, it's my Patreon if you want. You know, we get a new mic. Maybe some sound effects, even, if we get enough patrons. We'll see. I'll make some other parallel content, too. I don't know. I've been making beats. I'll show you. I'll give you access to my music that I make. I'm making music now. Whatever. We'll figure it out. There's enough comp to go around. All right. See you next week.